It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Second hour of Light the Tower here on The Horn. Craig Way and Jeff Howe with you. It's new Daniel alongside as well. Coming up in a few minutes, Matt Walters from the K-State Sports Network will join us to preview this matchup tonight between Texas and Kansas State and the weekend series for that matter, as well as the Longhorns and Wildcats will meet at UFC Dishfog Field. Of course, you can hear it on The Horn tonight on 104.9 FM. You can hear it 6:15 with the airtime, 6:30 with the first pitch. Ty Madden and Jordan Wicks, the pitching matchup there. So we'll have that coming up in just a few minutes. On the cleanup from hour number one.
I think we got some Shaq movie submissions.
Grown-ups 2 is there. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good. CBS's Blue Chips got the Magic Penny Hardaway, got that there. Dan letting us know that no ketchup is indeed inconceivable, because we talked about the ketchup packet shortage. The SNL skit, somebody also brought up the cheeseburger sketch. We talked about that earlier, which is a great one. Sweaty Balls. Yeah. Peter Sweaty.
That was good. Yep.
That's a one-time sketch is what we're saying. Not a continuous one, a one-timer. A one-time sketch. So,
you know, at some point, Craig, too late in today's show, because we've already got, you know, text rolling on the Specs text line. Like, what is one day we need to do? Like, what is your favorite, like, just objectively bad movie? Like, everybody has that one, that everyone agrees it's just an objectively bad movie, but you like it anyway.
Okay.
And my Shaq is in mine. Like, there was a point in time in my life where I owned a copy of Freddy Got Fingered on VHS and DVD.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shame on you.
I was a big Tom Green fan back in the day, Snoop.
Okay.
I was a P1 of the Tom Green Show.
Were you there?
On MTV. Oh yeah.
Updating the leaderboard.
Like when the Bum Bum song came out, that was a game changer for me.
Okay. You can stop anytime you want.
I think I'll just keep going.
Dig that hole.
I'll just do Tom Green shtick the rest of the show.
All right. Glad to have those of you catching this on Twitch as well. Justin Rose is still leading the Masters, even though he's given a shot back to par. He is given back quite a bit, in fact. He's at minus 4, I think, right now. So we'll keep you updated on that. I'm still thinking about that. but we'll keep you updated on the Masters leaderboard.
I'm trying to find a way to enjoy the Masters, Craig. No Tiger this year, obviously. And then, Andrew Johnston, Beef, is not playing in the Masters either. So,
those two guys aren't involved, it's hard for you to be involved.
It is. We need Beef needs to make a comeback.
You're a big fan of Beef.
We need Beef to be a prominent player on the PGA Tour.
You're a big fan of Beef, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Anybody that looks like me stepping out on the tee box, you've got my support.
Well, he definitely looks like his name.
Correct.
We can just say that he definitely looks like his name. That's for certain.
I love this portion of the Masters, Craig, because you just look at the scroll across the bottom of the screen as you're watching, and you can figure out pretty quick. There's some dudes like Vijay Singh at 15 over. He ain't playing on Saturday.
No, and guys like Phil Mickelson and Rory McIlroy are pushing not being able to play on Saturday. Mickelson plus 5, McIlroy plus 4.
Freddie Couples is it like 12, what is it, plus 12? I think.
Yeah, of course that's a courtesy for him there. Jordan Spieth, by the way, who shot 1 under par for his round yesterday, is 2 under through 4 holes of his round today. He's playing the par 4 fifth hole right now. is Spieth.
If you win it, you get basically like a lifetime invitation to come back and play, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's why
Freddie Couples and Sandy Lyle
and Ian Woosnam, guys like that, are still playing that. Okay, there's baseball being played at UFC Udish Falk Field tonight. 6:30, we'll have it for you on the horn. 6:15 is the airtime for that. Meanwhile, calling the action there on the K-State Sports Network and on News Radio KMAN there in Manhattan, our good friend Matt Walters from the Wildcat Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, who joins us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. I will first start by saying welcome back to the Capital City, and hope you got a good night's rest since you did come in yesterday, right?
Yep, we got in late afternoon, somewhere around 4:30-ish, and all is good to start this finally Friday.
Yeah, okay. So here's my first question, and I told Matt this because after Texas finished its sweep of Kansas last Saturday in Lawrence, yeah, and they had an earlier start time, I hop in the rent car with Keith Moreland, and we're taking it back to Forbes Field in Topeka where the charter planes go in and out if you've got, you know, games at Kansas. So we're on our way back, and I said, wait a minute, K-State's playing. Let me flip over to 1350 KMAN. And there was Matt working it with John Kurtz. Now, at the time, I didn't know that John was working well on the broadcast. So then I texted Matt and said, hey, who did listen to you guys coming over? Who's working with you? He said, John Kurtz. I thought, oh, yeah, that's right. And then what was your question to me afterwards?
My question was, did we suck?
Yeah, did we suck? And how did I respond?
Not any more than normal.
No more than normal, no more than usual, or something like that. You know, because we're all in the same boat.
That's why I love you and Keith.
we're all in the same boat on here, man. But my point was this: in listening to the ball game, and I was listening to Kansas State in the process of taking two out of three from the number three team in the country, Texas Tech at the time, and I looked and so I went back and I looked at Wildcats early season results, and I saw losses to Gonzaga and New Mexico. I did see a win over Oregon State, but then I saw losses to Eastern Illinois and New Mexico, and then four in a row, Wichita State, and then got swept by Oklahoma State. Then you turn around after dropping the first game to Texas Tech, win the last two, to win that series, then make it four in a row with a couple of wins over Arkansas Pine Bluff. So the question persists now, Matthew: will the real K-State please stand up? Or the question is, who is the real K-State as the Wildcats come into town this weekend?
Yeah, I think that's a valid question. I think we saw what K-State can be in the last two games of the Tech series last week, because, you know, to go back to last Thursday night, you typically don't get whacked 17-1 by, you know, that kind of team and then come out and win the next two ball games. But that's exactly what happened. And, you know, Kansas State got very good pitching. And I think K-State's offense stepped up quite a bit because the Cats hit eight home runs off of, you know, a weekend rotation and a pitching staff that had been really, really good. So, you know, the key in that stretch, which you referenced, where K-State, you know, lost to Wichita State and then got swept by Oklahoma State down in Stillwater, K-State was not fielding the baseball at a high level. They weren't playing good defense. You know, they went a stretch at Oklahoma State where they didn't get a hit for the better part of 10 innings. And, you know, again, last weekend, just put some things together, got the ball rolling, and you know, really played at a high level against Texas Tech. And if, you know, K-State plays that kind of baseball this weekend, I think it's going to make for a very fun series.
Matt, just looking at Texas from an opponent's point of view, as you've gone through your prep and looked at the Longhorns, what stands out to you?
Well, I think overall, globally, what stands out to me is that it appears Texas is a little better offensively than I'm maybe accustomed to seeing them. You know, obviously Texas always has great pitching, and that's where I start. But, you know, the fact that, you know, that Texas handled a team like South Carolina back in, mid-March and took three from the Gamecocks. You know, the fact that, you know, Texas wins two out of three at Baylor, two out of three against Oklahoma, and then sweeps KU. Now, those aren't the upper echelon teams at this point in the Big 12. I see this as a team that's, you know, executing, a team that's getting good pitching, and this is a pretty good fielding squad as well. If you're, you know, if you're just under 980 fielding wise, then, you know, you're above average, and that's why I think K-State again has to step up, because, you know, Texas is always Texas, but if you play your brand of baseball, and, you know, if K-State's aggressive, and again, if K-State plays in all three aspects, I like their chances. If K-State really struggles in one aspect, then it might be difficult. But one thing that stands out, and I'm sure you're probably going to ask about it, is in all the time I've done K-State baseball, which we're getting close to 30 years, the weekend rotation that K-State has right now is probably the most complete and best weekend rotation K-State maybe has ever had. So they lean a lot on the three guys that start this weekend, and the bullpen has come along. So, you know, it's a big ballpark here, and the wind's not going to fly out of here like it did in Manhattan the last weekend. So, again, I think this has the great makings of a very fun series here in Austin.
You know, it's funny. We're visiting with Matt Walters here, who calls Wildcat Baseball. And here's Jordan Wicks, who was a preseason Big 12 Pitcher of the Year, and Ty Madden. These two go at one another tonight. And for folks who are the victims of recency bias, as we say, or the prisoner of the moment, they'll look back and say, wow, he got roughed up in the Friday night game. It was the one game they lost to Texas Tech. He gave up 9 hits and 5 runs and all that. And the prior start below at Oklahoma State gave up 6 and 5. Guy is still 4-2 and a 3.40 ERA and has great stuff. We know that about Wicks. What's been your take on Jordan watching him throughout the course of the season?
His changeup is really good, Craig, and you know, when he has made mistakes with a fastball in the last two weekends, that's when he's got hurt. You know, you can go back, you referenced some of the early season losses. You know, he kind of got hit around a little bit by Western Michigan back in March, and that was a very good ball team and a team that had a top 20 type offense. But you know, for Jordan Wicks, he's a heck of a competitor. And when I speak of his fastball, what his fastball has been, you know, has been kind of in the 88-91 range. Well, now he's more of in the 92-95 range. But when he is down, he's as good as anybody. He is, as I said, a heck of a competitor, very smart, fields his position. But, you know, his changeup is filthy. And, you know, there was you see this all the time from different, you know, publications or whatever. But, you know, early on, before the season really got started, one publication credited him with the best changeup in college baseball. His stock has risen. I think he's got the chance to be a very high draft pick. And you know, he's battling a great guy tonight in Ty Madden. So looking forward to what very well could be a pitcher's duel tonight.
I was going to ask you about a couple of guys who swing in the bat well for the Wildcats. Dylan Phillips is one of those guys, and these are guys that I've gotten used to seeing. Obviously, there's some guys. Phillips, you know, the outfielder, and Zach Kokoska has also hit the ball well. And then there's Nick Goodwin. So you've got guys, and the team's batting 271, which is almost identical to Texas right now. They're batting 272 as a team. How about the offensive work from the guys?
Well, K-State's offense is premised around those guys that you mentioned. Goodwin is a freshman that really didn't play, a senior in high school due to COVID, and he's jumped in. He's hit right in the middle of the order all year long. Has done a great job. He's been a second baseman. He's been a DH. Right now, he's playing at short. Kansas State had a couple of infield injuries that, you know, precipitated some moving of players to various spots. And, you know, he's holding his own in one of the best conferences in college baseball. You know, you mentioned Dylan Phillips. He is he's just tearing it up right now. He is K-State's best player. In my estimation, he is bigger and stronger. K-State's at its best when he's in left field. Can't see him at first base, and he's been good there. And then Kokoska's just been a mainstay and a staple in right field. And these are the guys that, you know, provide plenty of pop. I know Coach Hughes, you know, when I asked him the other day, before one of the Pine Bluff games, I asked him about the fact that K-State leads the Big 12 in home runs and that they've hit over 40 home runs already. And his response was, no, it doesn't surprise me because Chris Ceballos, who's, you know, one of K-State's catchers and typically the starter on Fridays, really hasn't gotten going yet. He, you know, at the start of the season, he was 2-for-30 at one point and was just really struggling, but he's starting to come around. So, you know, I think really, Craig, for K-State, they have to make sure they're getting the ball in play and avoiding strikeouts. That was a real problem early on, but it's gotten better. And K-State's got some speed. They're aggressive on the base paths, and Texas is as well for that matter. But, you know, I like the brand of baseball and the style that Pete Hughes has brought to Manhattan because, you know, the kids love him and love playing for him. And it's fun to watch. K-State has an athletic outfield. They can go get it in all aspects. So, again, when K-State is playing the kind of baseball they did last Friday and Saturday against Texas Tech, they're a whole lot of fun to watch.
Hey, by the way, how many kids does Pete Hughes have? How many more kids are going to play for him? I mean, you know, he had Thomas played for him and is now a volunteer, so he's got another kid. I mean, does he have more still coming up through the family ranks?
The Hughes have a high school daughter still, high school daughter, and then they've got PJ. And PJ is a sophomore at Manhattan High School, and he's a shortstop and middle infielder, so there's probably one more that's coming. So don't be surprised if that happens here in about 3 or 4 years.
Wow. that'd be wind up being three that have actually played for him ultimately, right?
Yep. And it was fun. It was fun for me last week because PJ started his first varsity game last week during one of the, you know, the Texas Tech games. I think it was the Thursday game. And Coach gave me a buzz and said, hey, can we record pregame a little bit earlier? And I'm like, yeah, no big deal. Why is that? Well, the boy is going to be starting his first varsity game, and it's a big deal to the old man. So I want to sneak over while we're doing batting practice so I can watch about 30 minutes. I'm like, sure, of course. It's all about family. So, and that what's been fun since Coach Hughes arrived on campus is to watch PJ grow. And he's always at the ballpark and always around the batting cage and taking ground balls and so forth. So it's a lot of fun to see him and for Coach to be able to do that and watch his kid closely.
Hey, but before we get done, I'm going to shift gears on you and give us a Chris Kleiman update. Tell us how spring football is going for the Wildcats, because I know you obviously and Wyatt and Stan keep close tabs on what Coach Kleiman's doing in trying to get the momentum established there in the Flint Hills. How are things going with spring football?
Yeah, spring football wrapped up last Saturday. Fortunately, was able to go to the final practice. K-State didn't do a spring game. They haven't. I don't think Coach Kleiman's a big fan of those. But went to about 90 minutes of the final spring practice last week. You know, COVID was somewhat tough on Kansas State, I will say. But they, you know, coaches jumped into the transfer portal. And I think K-State has some great newcomers. One's a tight end, Daniel Amaterbebe, who's, you know, been around. He's played at Illinois and USC. K-State's got a couple of defensive backs, one from Iowa, one from Louisville, that are making a big impact. Julius Brents is one of the biggest corners I can remember K-State ever having. He's 6'3 and about 205 and has really done some great things. I think, you know, what Coach Craig has thought stood out the most during spring ball is how K-State's offensive line has really grown, and he thinks that's one of the areas where K-State has shown the most improvement. You know, all those guys are back this coming year. You know, you get Skylar Thompson back. K-State likes it stable at running back. I think the defensive side of the football is maybe where the most questions will be. You know, up front, K-State loses one of its top defensive guys in Drew Wiley. But, again, out of the transfer portal, they get a guy named Timmy Horn from Charlotte, which, you know, I know people will hear, well, the kids at Charlotte, they're not a very good football program. Well, this kid's a beast and has got a chance to be really, really good. I think for me, the most interesting aspect to watch when we get to, you know, September and how things unfold is what does K-State have at linebacker? I think that's the area where Kansas State may be a little bit thin at the moment, and then also maybe in the kicking department. But, you know, Coach Kleiman's slowly he's getting everything instilled. And, you know, again, he's a coach the guys really like. You know, we'll be back down here at Arlington because K-State opens with Stanford at Jerry's World. So that will be a good season opener for K-State. And I'm really looking forward to the football season and getting the juices going again, because last year was just, you know, as awkward as anything could be. And K-State got all of its games in, but I think K-State's pleasantly surprised. They're kind of flying under the radar a little bit, and I think it may stay that way. But they've got a real chance, I think, in 2021 to be a pretty solid team.
I had a sudden thought. That game with Stanford, is that the return game, so to speak, for that game in Palo Alto back in 2016? Because I was there working that for Westwood One. I remember seeing you guys there. I thought about that. That's 5 years ago, that game.
Yeah, that is correct. And I'll be honest, you know, and Gene Taylor, K-State's AD, talked about this. The reason the game's in Arlington is because of financial reasons and what COVID, you know, what impact that had. So financially, K-State decided to make that decision. I'm personally, I love to see, you know, here at Texas, you guys are used to it, but, you know, we're not real used to the Stanford's coming in. The, you know, UCLA came in not long ago, Mississippi State. I was really hoping Stanford would come to campus, but that's not the case. And again, look forward to that game, because over the course of time, haven't seen a lot of those in non-conference play, but you're exactly right. It's the return matchup for that home and home.
Wow. Hey, I appreciate you taking the time, Matt. I'll see you over at the ballpark a little later on today.
Always look forward to it, and appreciate the invite to be on with you guys this morning.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thanks, Matt.
All right. That is Matt Walters, who will call the baseball broadcast for Kansas State this week. And I thought about that. I thought, I did that game for Westwood One, and I thought, how many years ago is that? 3, 4? No, it'd be this fall, be 5 years. It was 2016.
Well, we've got Texas and Arkansas playing a return game that was supposed to be played in 2009, and they're playing it this year.
That's true. So. Speaking of long term, I had to go back and I looked at that, and Daniel Matabebe, okay? I thought, wasn't he on the USC roster that played at Texas? And he was.
Yeah.
He was. And he played in 9 games in 2017 when they played. And then, of course, he transferred to Illinois to play. But did you know he was at a school before USC?
No.
Look at that. He's from the Atlanta, Georgia area. He's from Suwanee, Georgia. So he signed with Florida in 2015, okay? 6 years ago. He signed with them, went through spring practice with the Gators. So he's wearing the orange and blue for Florida. And then he transferred to USC in the fall of 2015. So he actually went through spring practice. Then he transferred to USC. In 2016 and 2017, he played at USC, sat out 2018 and 2019, then transferred to Illinois, played there, and played in 7 ball games, and now as a grad transfer getting ready to play for Kansas State.
You know, Craig, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
Yeah. Hey, I think it was 6.5 for me, and I went to 4 different schools, so there you go. All right. Coming up, we'll have our Longhorn Notebook when we continue here with Light the Tower. Here on the Horn, we're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Bucky and Aaron.
I was a freshman just getting to college, and I met someone whose sister just happened to be a junior in high school. And I dated this person for 3 years.
I'm not talking about
it wasn't a quickie. It wasn't quick things.
Anything.
like you're talking, I'm talking about in the moment when you found out that you're 18.
Yes.
She's 15.
We're saying the word 15.
School,
don't say the word 15.
At that point, your mind should have said, yeah, she's really, really pretty, but that's off limits.
No.
B&E. Mornings from 6 till 10.
On the horn.
So here is Light the Tower. And
you familiar with this one, Craig?
I don't think I'm familiar with this one, per se.
This is Rough Riders Anthem, Craig, by DMX.
Yeah.
And yeah, Snoop, let's go ahead and hit the breaking news sounder for anybody that hasn't heard. It was rumored last night that this had happened, but yeah, Rolling Stone, XXL, legitimate media companies reporting it, and the family has released a statement. DMX passed away this morning at the age of 50 following a heart attack. This one hurts, Craig. Mm. Hurts. Sounds DMX wafting through the I just posted this on Twitter at JeffHow247. Those sounds of DMX wafting through the field house in Florence, Texas, America on Friday nights, getting me ready for a football game. Something that always sticks with you. That was big. DMX was a really, really big player in my musical taste back in high school.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's, you know, and he was the kind of character he was. He was like a preacher, Craig. He was like a rapper preacher who had, you know, sins of his own, but he was trying to preach through his
own experiences.
Correct, yes. And he was always failing.
Do as I
at
say,
life.
Not as I do.
He was, you know, so he was an interesting character, let's just say. He wasn't just an ordinary rapper.
So, R.I.P. DMX.
And come on, DMX starred alongside Steven Seagal in a movie, so I mean, yes. Gotta give him that too.
Belly.
No, the Exit Wounds. Well, he was in Belly, yeah, but Exit Wounds was the
Exit Wounds. So R.I.P. DMX. It's time for the notebook.
Oh.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook. Brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cpdoors.com.
Did you hear that sound come out of Snoop? And it's time for the notebook. You know, you're oh. He's like reaching over, realizing he wasn't ready to fire it off.
No.
Oh.
I was mourning DMX.
Let's try let's try to shift gears a little bit, and let me bring up some Longhorn football, Craig. We heard from Keandre, heard from Keandre Coburn in the first hour, talking about Bo Davis, and again, I do really like that interior defensive line for the Longhorns. But also talking about guys who have stood out in spring practice, we've gotten a couple of names, and Craig, as I run down these names that Keandre Coburn and Cade Brewer mentioned yesterday, we're starting to see some overlap from what other players have said, what we published at Horns 24/7 in terms of insider reports from practice. We're starting to see some names overlap. Jacoby Jones is a guy Keandre Coburn said is, quote, getting a sack or a tackle for loss like every other play. So he had one of those two outside linebacker positions. He's at that jack position. Ray Thornton working at the X-backer spot. We'll get to Ray Thornton in a minute. He's a guy that Keandre Coburn says has stepped up. Also a guy Coburn pointed out, Josh Thompson. Said he just keeps coming up with interceptions, and anytime you're in a team period, Craig, as a big guy, you like that because turnovers get you off the field pretty quick and cut down on your snap counts. Coburn also praised David Benda for his communication skills. We talked a lot about that inside linebacker group this week, Craig, and the lack of experience, but there's talent there. There are body types and skill sets that fit the modern Big 12. And David, I think it's important to remember, too, Craig, something that, you know, in the kind of the muck of the Tom Herman situation the last few years, where you're talking about job security and trajectory of the program. One thing that gets lost is the development of some of the younger guys and like who that staff valued as a young guy. Go back to 19, David Benda starts a game against Kansas and then doesn't play again the rest of the year because they want to preserve the red shirt. They weren't planning on him playing. It's just some injuries and the way things worked out, but they valued him so much. Like, we're not going to burn a year this year, even though he can help you.
Had he already appeared in four games?
The Kansas game was his fourth game, so he starts the Kansas game, and then we don't see him the rest of the year because they want to preserve.
And that was a strategy, not only of Tom Herman's, but of other coaches. I heard them say, hey, we want to play guys two, three, maybe even four games. A lot of them said we'd like to play him two or three and then hold back that fourth in case we need him for a bowl game. But they spent it on Benda on the Kansas game.
Yeah, because I mean, inside linebacker 19 was just, it was an absolute mess. So they ended up playing David Benda. Junior Aguilar is a guy that's standing out to Keandre Coburn. Also, Craig, I do think he's kind of a forgotten guy. Like when we talk about the offensive line, we spend a lot of time talking about Jake Majors and the tackles because you're looking for a replacement from Cosme. But you start looking at Junior Aguilar and what he's done in his career. I mean, this is a guy that's played in 22 games and started all 22 in his career. So and done it to both right guard and left guard. So he's got some versatility there. And I think, too, with Anguilau, again, just kind of going back in the Wayback Machine, things you remember from a guy's recruitment that, and how it relates to player development. This guy that played like in a triple option offense in high school. I remember when he got to the All-American Bowl, he and I, it just kind of shows you how some guys view those. Like Junior and I are talking in between reps as he's going through some work. He's like, I've never done pass pro ever. He's like, this is the first time I've tried to like pass block anybody.
And to be honest, he struggled with it for a time.
Yeah.
I mean, there were holding calls.
Yeah, and I think some of that, too, had to do with some of the technique stuff that Herb Hand was teaching. I think there was an over-reliance on vertical pass sets and not being more diverse with some of their blocking schemes up front in terms of defending the pass rush. So hopefully Kyle Flood can change that. But Anguilau apparently is up to 315 pounds, and Coburn said he's really strong and it stood out more than anybody on the offensive line. Christian Jones also got a mention there. From Keandre Coburn. And then you go over to the offensive side of the ball when Caden Brewer met with reporters, Craig. One guy he talked about who's standing out, he said Ray Thornton. He said Ray Thornton's been a handful. He said you can tell he's experienced, a good guy, and a good leader. Everybody wants to know about the quarterbacks. Just not a whole lot to take. Everybody's kind of keeping that close to the vest, as should be expected.
Sure.
Cade Brewer said both those guys are progressing nicely. They're throwing the ball well, showing good leadership. Something that we reported, though, too, at Horns 24/7 that Cade mentioned yesterday, this offensive staff, Steve Sarkisian as the play caller, Kyle Flood as the offensive coordinator, they're experimenting with 12 personnel, one running back, two tight ends. And I think that's twofold. One, they got a crap load of tight ends, for lack of a better word, and two, it seems like it's been a pretty quiet spring so far for the receivers. Like, they know what they've got with Jordan Whittington, and they know what they've got with Joshua Moore, but still waiting for whether it's Kelvonte Dixon or Marcus Washington or even a newcomer like Jaden Alexis, waiting for some guys to come up and come along and step up. Just haven't really gotten that yet through six practices, so hopefully they get that before too long. But, I think the 12 personnel look is interesting because Sark did do that. I mean, yes, he had four first-round receivers 2 years ago at Alabama. But you look at them last year, Craig, they did run quite a bit of 12 personnel. The key is, though, he really understood and asked those guys to do what really fit their skill sets. Like, Forrestall was a guy that could play. It was a lot more of their inline guy. Jaleel Billingsley was a guy, kind of like what Cade Brewer said his role is going to be in an offense. He's more the move guy, the guy that's going to flex out or split out and be on the move a lot, not play a ton necessarily with his hand in the dirt on the end of the line. So getting some diversity in that tight end room, I think, is interesting. Because, look, you've got enough bodies there. You've got to figure out which of these guys can play and if 12 personnel can be a good package for you. Because if it's not, if some guys come along at receiver or if Sark decides, and he's done this in the past, experimenting with 20 personnel and getting two of those running backs on the field at the same time, look, I think if you're talking about your top 11 on offense, we know Bijan Robinson's in that mix and Roschon Johnson's probably in that conversation too. A 20 or a 21 personnel look with two backs on the field might be a better way to attack offenses. So, but again, like we talk about with spring ball, Craig, this is the time when you experiment with all that stuff, you figure it out. So that way, by the time you get to camp, now you probably got about a week or so, week and a half of evaluations. And then by that point, usually once you get through the first scrimmage, you'll be getting ready for the Raging Cajuns at that point.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There's our Longhorn notebook. Again, a reminder, Longhorn baseball. Also a reminder, Texas softball on the road and opening a three-game weekend Big 12 conference series in Ames, Iowa. And Iowa State, that's right. Iowa State does not play baseball. They haven't since 1999, but they do play softball. And Texas plays at Iowa State this afternoon. It's a 4 o'clock first pitch on 105.3 The Bat. And they play three afternoon games today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Longhorn baseball plays tonight, 6:30, tomorrow afternoon, 2:30, Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. So this evening's game, 6:30, 6:15 airtime here on the Horn on 104.9 as Texas takes on Kansas State. All right, we got a few final notes and some things to clean up that we'll get to when we come back here with Light the Tower on the Horn. For those of you watching on Twitch, we thank you for that. And those of you listening live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
California.
right, what up, ATX? TGI Friday. Snoop Daniel for my friends at CustomAthleticApparel.net. 512-567-2334. Quality sublimated and tackle twill uniforms at an affordable price. CustomAthleticApparel.net. Now, I'll be running around like a chicken with my head cut off between the soccer, playoff games, baseball, and softball tonight, including Round Rock versus Vandergrift at Pea Field and Cedar Park versus Dripping Springs out at Lake Travis. And I do it all powered by CustomAthleticApparel.net. Tonight, it'll get a little chilly. I'll be rocking my CustomAthleticApparel.net hoodie. You got to test out the product to know it's the legit deal, okay? Support those that support Austin area athletics and support 104.9 The Horn. CustomAthleticApparel.net. Quality sublimated and tackle twill uniforms at an affordable price. Direct to garment printing. No minimum order or setup fee. 567-2334. Hit up my man Desi Ibarra. CustomAthleticApparel.net.
Craig Way, Jeff Howe, and Snoop Daniel. Light the tower.
See, to live is to suffer. But to survive, well, that's to find meaning in the suffering.
Hey, yo, I'm slipping, falling. I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping.
Jeff Howell's mourning the loss of DMX today.
Yeah, it's a tough one, Craig. It's tough.
Did you hear about, you know, how, you know, inspiring he was to open the song? Something. Well, I didn't know what exactly he said, but it was inspiring.
No, wait a minute. You just said you didn't know what he said, but it was inspiring?
Hold on. Let me roll it back. Hold on. What did he say? He said something inspiring. Hold on. See? To live is to suffer.
To survive.
And to survive.
That's to find meaning in the suffering.
To find meaning in the suffering.
Oh.
Okay.
So you can understand what kind of like artist DMX was. Again, a tortured guy. Very tortured, Jeff, correct?
Yeah, yeah. The prayers that he had. I think he had a prayer on all his albums, didn't he, Snoop? Most of them.
Lots of prayer. Godly man, again, just trying to find his wings. The horns are sticking out.
Okay.
That's one way to
Is that
play.
How your parents view you, by
yes,
the way?
Exactly.
I kind of thought that might be the case.
A couple quick Texas basketball notes, Craig, before we get out of here. Donovan Williams was in the transfer portal. He is headed to UNLV. So now you've got Royce Hamm headed to UNLV, Donovan Williams headed to UNLV, Kamaka Hepa in the transfer portal, Kai Jones declared for the NBA draft, and we're still waiting on decisions from other guys. And speaking of the portal, pretty big loss for Texas, a guy that they were interested in. Stanley Umu, the transfer from South Dakota, averaged over 21 points a game. The San Antonio native, he's actually headed to Arkansas. And I think for style of play, Eric Musselman's system probably fits him a little bit better. But this is a guy that you definitely would have loved to have had be a part of the Texas roster for Chris Beard's first season. But the portaling continues, Craig, as Chris Beard goes about building this roster.
Portaling. That's a word there we can use. You could probably verb that, too. I'll be portaling.
I'll be portaling.
Yeah, that'd be a way to
I'll
do
be
that.
Portaling somewhere to get lunch as soon as we're off the air here. I'm starving.
Okay.
Hey, like, see, and that's why I think Texas can make the Final Four next year.
Because I'm starving and need food?
No. That might have been why you were hangry earlier. But, you know,
I was hangry. My wife does accuse me of that quite a bit, getting hangry.
But, yeah, like, with the transfer portal, I got to hit the outro music.
How about if you do that?
I think that we can make some noise next year. I'm expecting it.
It's that mix of it goes from like DEFCON 1 to ADD, Craig. Goes back and forth.
And all points in between.
We love Snoop to death, though.
We do.
This show would suck without Snoop.
No, I don't know about that.
Yeah. So hopefully Snoop has a safe and
Snoop, you got some exciting plans for this weekend?
Lots of soccer tonight. Lots of soccer. I'm going to Round Rock Vandergrift in particular, but we're covering them all.
All right. Look for Snoop out there with his swim shorts on.
Yeah. He'll probably have those on
as
well. It's going to be like 96 today. He should.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks to Matt Walters joining us as well to preview K-State in Texas. Hope you'll tune in for the broadcast tonight, 6:15. Roger Wallace will join me for that one. First pitch at 6:30. We invite you to stay tuned. Shirts and skins. Chad and Trey ready to careen right into the weekend. For our man Snoop Daniel behind the glass and for my co-host Jeff Howe, I'm Craig Way. Thanks for joining us. Have a great, have a safe weekend. We'll visit with you Monday right here on Light the Tower. Every